We know that our theme for this year is our dispensation. Church, this is our dispensation. It is our time to be used by God at a greater level and for His purpose. We have defined that word dispensation to mean a span of time. It is a span of time. That means it has a beginning and it has an end. It is a time determined by God for His purpose. It is a season. It's a time in which we are to complete a divine assignment. We know by now what our assignment is. Our assignment in this dispensation is to seek and save, restore and rebuild. And God desires that we would do it at a greater level of intensity. This year, I have said week after week that we must raise our level of commitment. We must raise our level of commitment to God and our commitment to each other so that we can meet the challenges of a lost and a deteriorating world. We must raise our level of commitment and we must preach Jesus. Amen. Our theme scripture for this year has been Romans chapter 13. Verses 11 and 12. Before we read that, again, I want to remind us of the context of this scripture. The book of Romans was written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Rome. This church had both Jewish and Gentile believers, but the Gentiles made the majority of the church. These different groups were having trouble getting along because they were culturally different. They were dissimilar, and they had different ways of expressing their faith in Jesus Christ. Paul writes to this church, in light of their conflict, to persuade them to change their behavior. So in the first 11 chapters, Paul instructs them in the doctrine of the church. Paul teaches them the message of the gospel. And he admonishes them that all people, no matter their race, ethnicity, or their previous religious background, everyone must put faith in Jesus Christ in order to be accepted by God. And then in chapters 12 through 15, Paul switches to more practical instruction. He tells them the things that they specifically need to change so they would be one. So that they would have unity, because he did not want disunity to get in the way of the furtherance of the gospel. You know, disunity has a way of doing that. It has a way of getting in the way of doing what God has called us to do. Amen. That's where we pick up verse 11. It says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." Paul is urging the church. He's saying, besides this, besides everything that I have told you thus far about Jesus, besides everything I've told you about how you should behave yourself, besides this, you know what a critical hour this is. You know the time, church. You know that it is high time. That is a fit and opportune time for you to wake up out of your sleep. It's time, he says, to rouse to the spiritual realities around you, because our final deliverance is nearer now than when we first believed. Paul's charge to the church at Rome is our charge, realizing what time it is. Church, when we realize the time that we live in, we understand that it is high time, that it is high time that we wake up out of our spiritual sleep, that we rouse to the spiritual realities around us, and that we allow God to use us to address what we see. We have been warned all year long that the night is far spent. That means sin has done enough damage. It's done enough damage in our lives. It's done enough damage in the lives of our loved ones. We have been assured that the day is at hand. Jesus' return draws near. But while we wait for him, we have a responsibility. While we wait for Jesus to return, we are to seek and save, restore, and rebuild. Therefore, we have no time to waste and no time to lose. We know that we must cast off everything that gets in the way of our witness. Anything that makes me a hypocrite, I gotta get rid of it. I gotta cast it off. And I must put on the armor of light. That is, I must make a decision to be right and live right. Church, as we wind down this year's theme, it is important at this point to engage in some introspection. See, we are at a point in the year where it's not time to hear anything new. We've already been taught enough. It's time to see if we have learned what we have been taught. See, you know, there's a difference between teaching and learning. Something can be taught, but it doesn't mean I learned it. You can teach me something meticulously, but it doesn't mean I know it. If I have learned what I have been taught, then something happens. I modify my behavior. So we're going to assess our learning at the end of this year, and we're going to do it by taking a test. Aren't you excited? I know the teachers are excited. We're going to assess our learning by taking the test. And that's the only way we can really assess our learning. Because, see, I can't assess your learning by how many amens you give. I can't assess your learning by how many times you clap or say, keep on preaching, Pastor, or say it, Pastor. That doesn't determine whether I have modified my behavior. See, all of us are polite Christians. You know, we do the right thing in church. You know, we clap when we're supposed to. We nod our head when we're supposed to. We say amen when we're supposed to. But we have to know, have I learned what I have been taught? Amen. I've been taught a lot this year. But have I taken it? Have I become one with it? And have I modified my behavior? So we're going to take a test. But don't worry, the results are between you and God. Nobody else needs to know your score. So if you fail the test, you don't need to tell anybody. That just means you have to change. But if you receive an excellent score on your test, keep it to yourself. Nobody wants to hear you bragging about how great you are doing. The test, the score, is between us and God. Why is this examination important? As much as we don't like tests, it's necessary to know exactly where I am and where I need to be. See, the teachers in our congregation know that it is hard to teach new material when you have not mastered the old. But see, next year is coming. It's right around the corner. And there's going to be some new material that is building on the old material. So I have to determine where I am with this. Have I mastered what we have learned in 2018? So we're going to take a test. Now, like any comprehensive exam, it's not going to cover everything that we learned this year, but it's going to touch on what's most important. And I'm going to give you the exam questions right up front. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to ask three questions, one question each week, and you're going to determine how you do in answering these questions. The first question that we're going to ask is, did I wake up? Did I wake up? The second question that we're going to ask in this mini series is, have I raised my level of commitment? Have I raised my level of commitment? And then the final question that we're going to ask in this mini-series is, have I allowed God to use me? Did I wake up? Have I raised my level of commitment? And have I allowed God to use me? Church, we are in part one of a three-part mini-series entitled, It's Time for the Test. The intent of this series is to encourage us to remember what we have been taught. I want to encourage us to remember what we have been taught. The purpose of this series is that I want us to examine ourselves in light of the theme. We want to examine ourselves in light of our theme. We have three objectives. We're going to answer three important questions. You already know what they are. The first question, did I wake up? The second question, have I raised my level of commitment? And the final question, have I allowed God to use me? In 2018, in the year that is our dispensation, what is the answer to these questions? So let's get right into objective number one. Did I wake up? The subtitle of the message is the question, did I wake up? Church, we started off the year and this theme by saying that 2018 would be a year of action. God is calling us to seek and save, restore and rebuild. But we learned at the very outset that before we act, we must wake up. We must wake up and see the signs of the time. See, we realize that we have been going through life, going through the motions, with all kinds of things happening around us, and we had not taken a look at what was happening right in front of us. So the question is, did I wake up? If the answer to that question is yes, that means I learned three important things. It means that I learned, point number one, what it means to wake up. If I woke up, if I did what I was supposed to, it means that I understand what it means to wake up. Let's look at Romans chapter 13, 11 through 12 again. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. See, church, to wake up means that I have awakened spiritually. I've awakened spiritually. In other words, if I woke up this year, I'm not going through the motions of life anymore. But I have opened up my eyes and I've looked around. I've stopped looking past what's there. I've stopped ignoring what's right before my very eyes. All of the dysfunction that is right before my eyes, I stopped ignoring it. All the things that are not as they should be, I stopped ignoring it. I opened up my eyes and I looked around. See, if I woke up this year, it means that I clearly see the signs of the times. I recognize now that these are challenging times, that these are the times that Paul talks about in the Word of God. He said that these are perilous times, that is difficult and hard to deal with. I have opened up my eyes and I see that these are times where people are self-centered, abusive, and unthankful. That's what Paul wrote in the Bible. That's the times that we live in. It's a time when people are obsessed with pleasure and empty amusement. It's a time where people have no tolerance for the things of God. It is a time where people are searching and searching and searching for more and more knowledge while they are rejecting the truth. That's what Paul wrote. And that's the time that we live in. See, if I woke up this year, I see that because we are in difficult times, that I must, as a Christian, hold fast to my faith. Amen. I must get rooted in this thing. This is no time to be shaky in my faith. This is no time to be wobbly in my faith. See, I have opened up my eyes and I have realized that I must continue steadfastly in the things of God if I'm going to make it in these times. See, if I woke up this year, it means I have opened up my eyes and I've looked at what's happening in my home. I've looked at what's happening in my family. I've looked at what's happening with my children. I've looked at what's happening with my loved ones. And I see their present condition. If I've opened up my eyes, if I woke up this year. In other words, to wake up means that I now understand the most critical and pressing issue facing my people. The most critical and pressing issue facing my people, it's not the socioeconomic realities of society. It's not cultural or racial identity. It's not politics. Those are issues. But the most pressing issue, the problem that is plaguing my loved ones, is sin. If I've opened up my eyes this year, if I woke up this year, I understand this. I recognize that you can have all the money in the world and still destroy yourself. I've come to understand that you could have all the intelligence in the world and still have no peace. I have come to understand that you can be as strong-willed as they come and still bound up in addiction. I have come to understand that the issue is sin. And I have learned that sin is simply to do with my life what God did not intend. If I woke up this year, it means I have opened my eyes and I see that sin is destroying my loved ones, that it is decimating my community, that it is killing hopes, dreams, and potential. Church, we have more freedom now than we ever had. And yet, as a people, as a community, as a society, we are more bound than we ever have been. See, I have come to understand that the problems are not those things on the outside, that the problems are those things on the inside, that there are some things on the inside that have to be fixed, things on the inside that have to be corrected, things on the inside that have to be dealt with, things on the inside that have to be changed. Because sin is killing our people, decimating our people. Why? Because while sin offers intense short-term pleasure, sin does offer pleasure. It is intense, but it's short-term. While sin offers intense short-term pleasure, it comes with terrible after effects. See, if I woke up this year, I have learned that. So I see that I have loved ones who are caught up in a society that has told them to let loose and do whatever you want to do. Do whatever you like to do. But their freedom of the flesh is wearing them out, stealing their strength, making them feeble, and making them weak. I recognize that I'm surrounded by family, friends, acquaintances, people who are breaking down and breaking apart because of the after effects of sin. If I am awake, if I woke up this year, I have come to understand that the issue is sin. But I have also come to understand that the challenge is the world. The world makes sin attractive. And the world hardens the heart. See, when there is that voice, that inner conviction, telling me what I'm doing is wrong, telling me I ought not to do this, then there is something in the world that's saying, pay no mind to your inner conviction. Do what you want to do. It's okay. The world hardens our heart against God, and the world hides the truth about Jesus. See, the world talks about Jesus. The world talks about Jesus all the time, but the world does not tell you the truth about Jesus. If I am awake, then not only have I opened my eyes and seen the spiritual realities around me, But if I am awake, if I woke up this year, I open my eyes and I set aside spiritual inactivity. That means I have roused to the realities around me. That word rouse means to be provoked, excited to action, and stirred up. It means provoked, excited to action, stirred up. If I woke up this year, not only did I open my eyes, but I have been provoked, stirred up, and excited to act because of what I see. See, if I woke up this year, that means I am no longer content with just coming to church. I have come out of the shadows of a sinful world. No more being an invisible Christian, ashamed of who I am. Now I am coming forth. No more missing in action. I have become active in the soul-saving business out of my devotion to God. That's if I woke up. If I woke up, I set aside spiritual inactivity. If I woke up, that means I've determined that I'm not just going to enjoy the messages, but I'm going to act on them. If I woke up, I decided to do something with what I learned once I pulled off the parking lot. That means that I have been stirred up, excited, and provoked. Not provoked to tell people where to go and how to get there. Not provoked to lecture people about how they need to get their act together. Not provoked to practice avoidance. Not provoked to throw in the towel and throw my hands up in disgust, but provoked to do something about what I see. Because the circumstances say something ought to be done. And because the circumstances say something ought to be done, I am provoked to preach Jesus. I'm provoked by the condition of my father. Provoked by the condition of my brother. Provoked by the condition of my child. I'm not going to sit and do nothing while I watch them suffer in sin. I'm provoked to action. So the question is, did you wake up? Because if I woke up, I opened my eyes and I saw what was around me. And if I woke up, I set aside spiritual inactivity and I was provoked, stirred up, excited to move and do something about what I saw. Amen. See, I woke up if I did something. Not if I said amen, if I did something. I woke up if I acted upon what I saw. And if I have not, then I'm still asleep. The question is, did I wake up? If the answer is yes, it means I learned what it means to wake up. And if the answer is yes, it means that I learned, point number two, why I must wake up. If the answer to that question is yes, then I learned why I must wake up. This year, I taught us why it is important for us to wake up out of our sleep. I taught us why it is important that we be provoked to action in a lot of different ways throughout a lot of different series. But the question is, did I learn? Do I remember why I must open my eyes? Do I remember why I need to set aside spiritual inactivity? Do I remember why it is imperative that I be stirred up to act? And is that knowledge causing me to press forward? If the answer is yes, it's because I've come to understand some things. See, I've come to understand that I must open my eyes and I must shake off spiritual inactivity, because if I don't, the lost, many of them will remain right where they are. That the lost can't save themselves. They will stay right where they are, sitting in the confused multitude, watching me get up and go to church, watching me read my Bible, watching me go in and out, watching me in my church activities. But if I don't set aside my spiritual inactivity and do something about what I see, many people who are lost will stay right where they are. We learn that if they do, things will get worse for them. And here's the irony. We look at them and we hold them in fault. We look at them and we blame them because we haven't done anything to lead them to Christ. We look at them stuck in their situations and we say, why can't you get out of that? And why can't you do better? We look down our noses at them when somebody ministered the gospel of Jesus Christ to us. Amen. I've come to understand that the lost can't save themselves. If I understand why I must wake up, it means I understand that the lost are hindered from seeing the truth clearly. I have to set aside spiritual inactivity. I have to do something about what I see, because the Bible is clear that the lost cannot see the truth. Because the Bible teaches us that the God of this world has blinded their minds. In other words, he has blunted their mental discernment. He has taken away their ability to think correctly and see clearly. And he does so to prevent the lost from apprehending the truth of the gospel. So while we are looking at people and wondering, why can't you just get yourself together? They can't get themselves together because they don't know the gospel. They haven't been taught the gospel. We haven't done anything to shine the light of the gospel on their hearts. See, I came to realize this year that the devil was indeed busy. That he's not busy in the way that we think. He's not busy causing our car to stall on the side of the road. He's not busy causing our supervisor to get on our case at work. If our supervisor got on our case at work, we have to ask, what did I do wrong? It's not that the devil is busy. The devil is busy in this dispensation while we are sleeping. While we are coming in and out of church, while we are enjoying our praise and worship, while we are lifting up our holy hands, while we are feeling content in who we are and what God has done in our life, while we are sleeping, because all of that is sleep. We think we're doing something, but we are asleep. While we are sleeping, the adversary is systematically, relentlessly blinding the minds of our loved ones. He is blinding their minds on the street corner. He's blinding their minds in the barbershop. He's blinding their minds on the internet, on YouTube, on Twitter, on Facebook. There's a whole Facebook religion now. People get on Facebook and they say all sorts of stuff that don't make no bit of sense. But the adversary is doing it 24/7. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He is everywhere at work all the time. While we are here in church raising our hands. And he's teaching people to chase after false gods. He's teaching people to reject Jesus Christ. One of the epidemics in our society, black Hebrews, want to tell you that Christianity is a white man's religion. If you knew anything about history, you would know that that is false and simply untrue. But because we are in here lifting up holy hands and the adversary is out there talking to our young black men, talking to them and cornering them, being aggressive and sharing what they believe, they are falling to that mess in droves. And then we wonder why things are the way they are, because we are asleep. The adversary is working 24/7. And the little bit of the gospel that we preach, that little bit that we do, that drive-by gospel preaching, well, you know you need to come to church. That little bit that we do is being drowned out by the adversary's systematic, relentless lie. We have to understand, people don't know what we believe. People don't know what the gospel is, because many Christians don't know what the gospel is. See, if I've woken up, if I'm awake, then I understand why I must be stirred to action. Because I've come to understand and realize that I have the answer that my loved ones need. That's the most important reason. That's the most important reason why we must be stirred to action. If I have woken up this year, it means I understand that my loved ones need the answer. I have the answer, and the answer is Jesus. Church, when we consider all the ways that we have been taught about Jesus this year, when we consider how much we have learned about who he is and what he has done for us, then we ought to be confident that there is no situation that his love cannot touch. No problem that his power cannot fix. See, I have learned this year a very old-fashioned scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We have read that scripture over and over and over again this year. But every time I hear it, it does something in my soul. Every time I realize what God has done for me, it makes me rejoice on the inside. Church, we have learned that Jesus loves us. We have learned that he gave his life for us. We have learned that Jesus is the answer to any wounded spirit. His love reveals healing, heals us of our sense of self-worthlessness. All of us can say we've done horrible things in our life. All of us can say we have been rejected and mistreated. All of us can say we have been abused and misused. And all of us can say that we have struggled with a sense of worthlessness. But because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. I have proof that my life has value. I have proof that I'm not a mistake. I have proof that I'm not an accident, because God made me and God loves me. I have proof because he desired me. I have proof because he wanted me. And because he wanted me, he gave. Who did he give? He gave his son, his only begotten son, his beloved son who was with him throughout all eternities, his son who never did any wrong, his son who did only please him. He gave him up on the cross to be my scapegoat, to stand in my place, to give up his life for my sins. Jesus is the answer. He's the answer to any wounded spirit. I've learned that. I've learned that he's the answer to any shameful past. No matter what I've done in my past, it really doesn't matter, because Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. That means that he appeased God's wrath on our behalf. So it doesn't matter what I have done in the past. It doesn't matter how many times I sinned in the past. Jesus loved me and he gave his life for me. It doesn't matter how vile my thinking was. It doesn't matter how profane my mouth was. He gave himself for me, and I don't have to live in shame. Don't have to live in guilt because of the things that I have done in my past. His blood has washed my sins away. He is the propitiation for our sins. Jesus is the answer. Church, we have the answer. I learned that Jesus is the way to a new life. We learned that Jesus reconciled us back to the Father, that we were enemies of God. But when he gave his life for us, he restored peace between us and God. And now we can just take for granted that we have peace with God. Even when I don't act like I should, when I lay my head down at night, I have peace with God. He's my Father, and I'm his child, and he hears me when I pray. He loves me. He nurtures me. He cares for me. I have access to the throne of grace. He's reconciled me back to God. He gave me a new heart, a new spirit, a new life. I can live a different kind of life because of Jesus, because of his blood. I'm not bound to sin anymore. Sin has no more dominion over me. We learned that this year. I am free from the things that used to destroy me. I'm free from the things that used to cause me to hurt myself and hurt others. I'm free because I have his spirit on the inside of me. I have his power on the inside of me. And if I just yield to the power of the Holy Spirit, I can live a righteous life. A life where I can hold my head up high. A life where I can please God and be at peace. Church, we've learned that this year, that we have the answer. We must be stirred to activity because we have the answer. We learn that Jesus is the answer to our present need. He is the answer to our present need. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We learn that Jesus, who is the Son of God, also is the Son of Man. That he left eternity and came into the world. That he joined his divinity to humanity. And he became a man like us so that he could be the sympathetic God. Church, we learned this year that he is a sympathetic God. That he's a sympathetic God to all men, regardless of race, class, culture, ethnicity, or gender. And he sympathizes with us in every aspect of our life. He sympathizes with our every sorrow. He sympathizes with our every struggle. He sympathizes with our every weakness. He's the sympathetic God. He identified with a full human experience in every single way except for sin. He went all the way to the cross and experienced death on our behalf. He is our representative man, teaching us to just follow in his footsteps. He said, just follow my steps. Walk in the path that I walk. I'll show you how to overcome. I'll show you how to overcome temptation. I'll show you how to overcome opposition. I'll show you how to overcome suffering. And yet when we are weak, when we are unable to do what he has done, he, as our sympathetic God, sits on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us because he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Church, we have the answer. We have learned that Jesus is our comfort and our hope for the future. He is the resurrection and the life. Church, we learned that because he got up out of the grave, we'll get up out of the grave. We learned that this corruptible body must put on incorruption. That this mortal body must put on immortality. We learned that death for the Christian has no sting. Grave for the Christian has no victory. He defeated hell, death, and the grave. And so I have a happy anticipation of good. No matter what happens in this life, I know that my life is not over. I have resurrection promised to me in the future. These are all the things that we have learned about Jesus this year. We have to stir ourselves to spiritual activity because we have the answer, and the answer is Jesus. I learned all of these things about Jesus, but my knowledge of him is not purely academic. See, we were reminded this year that we have experienced him for ourselves. God has walked with us. We have experienced his healing. We have experienced his power. We have experienced his forgiveness. And we have experienced his peace. We know that we serve an able God. We are like Paul, and we could say, I know whom I believe. That is, I know who I trust. And because of that, we were reminded that we have the proven way of life. Church, we know that our life is proven. We know that our way of life is proven. So it's clear to me why I must wake up. If I woke up this year, it's because I know what it means to wake up. If I woke up this year, it's because I know why I must wake up. I must wake up because I have the answer. The answer is Jesus. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. The question is, did I wake up? If the answer is yes, it's because I have learned what it means to wake up. If the answer is yes, it's because I've learned why I must wake up. And if the answer is yes, it's because I have learned how to wake up. That's your point number three. I have learned how to wake up. Now, remember what we said. Learn is to modify my behavior. If I am awake, it's because I did something. If I am awake after all that I have been taught this year, it's because I first changed my thinking. See, I learned that how I think dictates how I act, react, and the choices I make. You remember that? How I think dictates how I act, react, and the choices I make. I learned that my thinking shapes my conduct. If my thinking is off, my conduct is sure to follow. So I may keep a cap on my behavior for a little while, but if I don't deal with my thinking, then how I think is going to break loose. So if I woke up this year, it's because I changed my thinking. How did I change my thinking? I changed my mind about what I have. I realized after everything that I have been taught about Jesus Christ, I realized that I have enough. That while the world is seeking solutions in these wicked and perilous times, I know that I already have the answer. I already know that the answer is Jesus. And because of that, I changed my mind. I changed my mind about what I have. Then I changed my mind about what I can overcome. I realized that I can overcome all things. I don't have to worry about what's going to happen if I come out of the shadows. If I stand firm and declare that I'm a Christian. If I become spiritually active and I start seeking and saving the lost, I don't have to worry about what's going to come my way. Persecutions, rejection, I don't have to worry about that. I can overcome all things. I can meet every challenge. Then I change my mind about what I must do. Church, the only way that we can wake up and the only thing that has woken up any of us is we have changed our mind about what we must do. In other words, we have decided that having lived the answer, I must now give the answer. I must change my mind. I can no longer be selfish in my thinking. I cannot look at my Christian life only as it pertains to what it does for me. It means that I change how I think and I say that because God has done so much for me, I have an obligation to do for others what was done for me. Because I have the answer and because I have lived the answer, because I know the answer works, I have a responsibility to give the answer. So I stop walking by the people that I used to ignore. I stop ignoring people who used to get on my nerves. I start doing what I knew I was supposed to do. I change my mind. I change my thinking and I change my mind. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. We've looked at this scripture before, but we're going to read it again. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We learn that in this verse of scripture, that word awake is a command to take action upon oneself. It is a command to take action upon oneself. It means to arise at your own hands. To arise at your own hands. To arise from a state of moral sloth to an act of life devoted to God. That word sleeper means you who are yielding to sloth or sin. In other words, laziness. You who are yielding to laziness or sin. You who are indifferent to your salvation. You know, we can be indifferent to our salvation. Yes, God saved me. Yes, I'm going to heaven. But I'm not excited about it. I don't tell anyone about it. I don't think much of it, indifferent to salvation. Paul is saying that if you are indifferent to your salvation, and if you are yielding to spiritual laziness or sin, take action. Make up your mind to stop living that way and become actively devoted to God. Wake up. Make up your mind to stop living that way. So if I woke up this year, I first changed my thinking. I changed how I thought about what it is I must do. And then I changed my mind. In other words, I made up my mind to stop living the way that I was living. Made up my mind to not be spiritually lazy. Made up my mind to be actively devoted to God. So I changed my thinking. I made up my mind. I made a decision to take action. But when I did it with a genuine commitment and a yielded spirit. I did it with a genuine commitment and a yielded spirit. In other words, I have a genuine commitment. I am determined to do God's work. I am committed to do it because I love Him. And I love Him because I remember what He's done for me. Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am chief. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. And when I realized what He did for me, that He didn't have to do it. You know, Jesus did not have to save us. Jesus did not have to arrest us by the Holy Spirit. It could have been another way. We could have still been lost. We could have still been wandering around. We could have still been self-destructing, but because He had mercy on me, and because He had pity on me, and because He was compassionate to me, when I didn't deserve compassion, when I didn't deserve mercy, and I didn't deserve pity, He still loved me the same. And while I was yet a sinner, He died for me. So I have a genuine commitment because I love Him. And I can't ever repay Him for what He's done. But I can serve Him in the way that I know how. I can serve Him by doing what He called me to do. I have a genuine commitment. And I have a yielded spirit. In other words, I am committed to obey God on His terms. When I woke up, when I decided that I was going to be spiritually active, it means that I decided to be spiritually active on God's terms. Because you know, sometimes we'll say, okay, God, yes, I'm going to do this. But by the time we start listing all of our conditions and all of our exceptions and all of the things that we cannot do, then we have done nothing for God. But when we wake up and decide that we're going to serve Him with a yielded spirit, God, whatever You tell me to do, whoever You tell me to talk to, wherever You tell me to go, whatever You tell me to say, however long You tell me to do it, God, I will do it. That means that I have woke up. Amen. Yielded spirit. Yielded to God's way. Yielded to His way, not my way. That means that when I minister to the lost, I take on the character of God. I don't use my own character. I take on the character, the love, the compassion, the patience, the mercy of God. I am yielded to His ways, yielded to His call. Whatever He tells me to do, I'm going to do it and yield it to His power. Church, this is our dispensation. This is our time to be used by God at a greater level for God's purpose. Remember what we learn about what God has done. God is calling us. He called us from a place to a place to carry out a desperately needed work. God called us out of darkness. Amen. He saved us. We didn't save ourselves. He saved us. He called us out of darkness and He called us into His marvelous light. He made us children of God, and now we are commanded to walk as children in the light. Walk according to God's word and walk according to His spirit. And He has called us to carry out a desperately needed work. God has called us to seek and save, restore and rebuild. He is calling us to preach, proclaim, live Jesus Christ. He's depending on us to do it. It's a desperate work, church. He's depending on us to do it because the world is getting worse. The church has lost its focus, but the lost still need to be saved. So the question for us as we wind down this year, are we passing the test? Have we learned what we have been taught? Have we modified our behavior to do what God has instructed us to do? Church, did we wake up? Are my eyes open to the spiritual realities around me? Or am I still focused on other things? Do I understand that the issue is sin, but that the lost cannot save themselves? Am I confident now that I have the answer and that the answer is Jesus, that he is the only answer, that he is every answer to every need in this dispensation? And has that knowledge stirred me up and provoked me to act? Have I made up my mind to preach Jesus? Church, am I awake or am I still asleep? Are we passing the test? If we're not passing the test now, we must pass the test. Because we have said at the beginning of this year that failure is not an option. Church, we must pass the test. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed.